The novel, Saint Someday, offers both a troubling and inspiring look at the impact of religion on people's lives, for good and for bad, and sometimes both. The main character of the novel, Bridget Landry, is horribly abused as a child by her stepfather, who is a religious fanatic, seeing himself serving a strict, demanding, vengeful God who punishes young Bridget for every real or imagined offense. Not surprisingly, Bridget has little use for religion or faith and little affection for God throughout her life. Her one source of consolation, hope, strength, and light, however, comes from an unusual source, the stories of the lives of Christian saints that she learned as a young child in parochial school. Somehow, the suffering and trials they experienced remind her of her own, as does their enduring goodness. Her spirit may have been broken, but not her heart. Near the end of the book is a scene that captures the essence of the story and the book's title. For a variety of reasons, Bridget dwells in a home for pregnant teenage girls run by a group of Catholic nuns. Her daughter-in-law Susan and granddaughter Tacy come to visit her one day. Tacy was trying to figure out exactly what it was Grandma did in a house full of women. She puzzled and pondered and finally asked her mother, "Mama, is Grandma a nun?" "No," Susan said with a laugh, "Grandma's not a nun." "Then why does she live here with the sisters and the pregnant ladies?" Susan thought about this for a moment. "Because your grandma is a great saint who has spent her life helping other people." The little girl leaned into Bridget and looked up into her face. "Are you a great saint, Grandma?" Bridget's first impulse was to say, "Absolutely not." But the expression on the child's face stopped her. She thought about it for a minute. "Have you ever heard of St. Therese of Lisieux?" she asked. Tacy shook her head. "Well, she was called the Little Flower, an intelligent, beautiful child, a lot just like you. She became a nun, and although she never did anything big or important during her lifetime, she became a saint because she helped people understand that everything we do, even the very little things, can be done with great love." Tacy's wide brown eyes gazed up at her. "So," Tacy said, with the unshakable conviction only a 4-year-old can muster, "you are a saint, and I can be one too." Tears welled up in Bridget's eyes, and she blinked them back. Tacy was still staring at her, waiting for an answer. How do you explain to a 4-year-old that her grandma doesn't believe in God, that she's a heretic, and that heretics don't become saints no matter how well they live their lives? Maybe, Bridget murmured, maybe we can all be saints in our own little way. Maybe someday. Today you and I gather to remember and honor the saints big and little, known and unknown, who have been and who in some mysterious way continue to be part of our life and story. In the church's eyes, saints are not those who have led perfect, exemplary, spotless, seamless, sinless lives. If that were the case, there would be no saints at all. Jesus himself declared, "There is only one who is good," pointing beyond himself to God. And even if there were such a thing as perfect saints, most of us would not be able to follow in their shoes. At least I'll speak for me. But the saints we need, and the saints we love, the saints we have are imperfect, broken, fragile, faulty people like ourselves, but who allow the light and love, the mercy and justice, the hope and forgiveness, the grace and goodness and compassion of God to flood their souls and bodies, their words and actions, and shine through for all to see, regardless of the situation they face. Today I would say to you that our job as the church is to nurture and grow people like that. To grow saints, if you will. That's something most of us might never aspire to or never have thought of as a possibility, but it is precisely what God created us to be. It is our high calling, our true calling, as the Apostle Paul puts it. Friday afternoon, I sat with Deb Virgo and a special group of persons who are helping us start a brand new leadership training program. These are persons who have experienced adversity in their lives, adversity that often continues to this very day. Life is hard for them sometimes, but they have not given up on themselves, on us, on hope, on God. I reminded them, as I reminded myself, of the slogan of the church in Columbus, Ohio, that some of us visited last year. The slogan goes like this: God loves you no matter what. And God's not finished with you. That's an important message. Both pieces of it. Important for that new training group and important for each and every one of us. Surrounded by violence and discord and injustice, the ancient prophet Habakkuk complained to God that it appeared to be no hope anywhere, and there appeared to be an obvious void of God's presence, God's concern. And he takes himself up in a high tower to wait for God's answer. And it comes as simply as this: make the vision plain so that nobody can miss it. Make the vision plain. And if it seems slow in coming, do not fear. It will come in time. As a congregation, our work is to grow saints. is to hold before each of us the vision of a God who loves us often in spite of ourselves, who loves us enough to want the very best for us and all the world, who wants us enough, who loves us enough to never give up on us, and the possibility of being made over into a saint. Maybe, Bridget murmured, maybe we can all be saints. Maybe, someday. Amen.